When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Second Guest Show. Mike D'Antilio, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live at the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We'll be on till 6:30 tonight, and then at 6:30, we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Saints Coaches Show. Visit Pensacola, Saints Coaches Show with Mike Haas as the host. His guest tonight will be Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, and his guest tonight will be defensive line coach Brian Young, who's also the pass rush specialist, but with Todd Graham.
Going to Oklahoma State.
Now Brian's got other responsibilities in coaching the defensive line. And Bob, if you would have told me before the season the Saints will get 8 sacks in one game, man, the Commanders wouldn't have been on the dance card. That would have been maybe the very last team I would have thought you could have got 8 sacks.
Yeah, and when you look at the 8 sacks, some of them, it was 5 or 6 was like what I call traditional real sacks. You know, whether you get 0 yards and all that, but still got to count the number 8, Mike. And, when you look at that, you know, we came into the game with only 29 sacks, and now we had 37. Because I was worried because of... You know, you got to be like high 40s or low 50s if you're really getting after the opposing quarterback when all said and done at the end of the season.
I think what you saw, I told this to Tommy Tucker this morning, I think Jaden Daniels has been told, hey, don't put the ball in harm's way. I don't care if you take a sack or throw an incomplete pass. Don't throw an interception. A couple of those throws, I mean, times he got sacked, he was just holding it. And I think he was, I'm not going to put the ball up to get intercepted, to turn the ball over. I'll get the punt. They can punt it, but I'm not going to throw the interception.
Well, and it ended up being, Mike, plus one for the game.
Right.
You look at the turnover margin. Now, you look at the Saints. We're now only plus one for the season. We're a minus one for the game. And that's something that I think – boy, I said this. If we could have got where we were last year, remember we were plus 11 in the turnover margin? That's amazing. But, that's how the Washington Commanders have played. They were top 10. They were plus 4 coming into the game. Now they're plus 5. So, Mike, it's amazing, though, when you look at it, how it's a cliche, fine, thin line between success and failure, woulda, coulda, shoulda. I mean, you look at the Saints, 5 wins. They could be 9-5, woulda, coulda, shoulda again, 9-5 instead of 5-9, where Washington's at. You look, we can't finish. We cannot finish games, and, going back to Philadelphia. You look at Atlanta, and it's going off with a touchdown. No, Mike, I'm telling you, I'm being fair with this. It just goes to show, you are what your record says you are. We're 5-9, but it's not much difference that we could potentially. Now, I'm trying to look at the glass half full, 9-5.
I get it.
No, it's not like we're not as bad as the Giants, I look right now, we'd pick number 10. I think where we're at right now, Mike, even if we lose the rest of our games, we're not really moving up. We might move up to 8
or that's something. About the highest.
Yeah, it's going to be like 8, 9, or 10, somewhere in that range.
Would it shock you tonight the Raiders beat Atlanta?
No.
And the Raiders aren't very good.
No.
But
no.
Atlanta's been playing awful.
No, and the Raiders can't finish.
That's another thing.
The Raiders have been in games where it's not like that. Giants have been embarrassing. But the Raiders, they're hanging in there, but then they can't finish. And the Saints haven't been able to finish this season.
My thing is, how the hell did they beat the Ravens
in Baltimore. It wasn't an in Baltimore. No, that it was the NFL. It was pros versus pros. That's how the only way you could describe it. When you talk about, you know, is the NFL the highest level? I don't know if I've ever seen, because it touches a lot of people's money, how incompetent the officials were.
Good gracious.
You know, you look at, like they got an extra chance for the field goal. But it worked in the Saints' favor at the end of the game. That false tomorrow touchdown, the clock should have run out. What was that? Who's that official? He should never be part of an NFL game again. Because, Mike, the clock should have run out. And we wouldn't even have had a chance to throw it to Foster Morrow and then go for two at the end.
And it's rare that the NFL will say, well, we made a mistake. But it was obvious. That one was obvious. They made the mistake on there. So, you know, kind of how they say that, God giveth and then he taketh away, so to speak. And so that's what happened to the Saints.
Well, and if you look at the kicker, Joseph, he missed his first kick. And like Darren Rizzi said, he's wearing out the official on the sideline. He's getting giving him the business because the quarter was over. The play should not have been allowed to go on. Like Coach Rizzi said, they gave the field goal kicker basically a freebie. You know, Mike, it's like only a mulligan when you're playing golf. Oh, I hit a bad shot. Then all of a sudden you know what you did. Maybe you could do better the next time. So they gave him a freebie, and then he mishit it. And he says, I've been coaching for 30 years with kickers. And I know you give him a second chance. I was in the press box. Oh, he'll make that second one.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. But, though, the time ran out. But then when you look at what happened to benefit the Saints at the end, that's why I was saying, look at that point spread, 7.5. What happened?
Yeah,
the clock stopped.
Over a little bit.
The clock stopped briefly at 9 seconds. Why? It's not like along the sideline where it's like, no, it's in the middle of the field. About, I'd say, 3 to 4 second pause. Then the play clock kept rolling. And then all of a sudden, the Saints are able to spike the ball with 4 seconds remaining in the game. Then we know Rattler hit Morrow for a touchdown on the ensuing play. Well, Mike, the clock should have run out. And then, a lot of people, you know, they bet.
If you were early and you had seven, you'd have had a push.
Right, and then you
lost.
Yes, and you look all of a sudden. I said, oh, the Saints are going to cover. And then look how they covered, though. So, no, it's a lot of money changing hands. That's the NFL got to get that right. The way it is today, 21st century, and all the money involved, they got to get that. You can't have those kind of mistakes.
Bob, with you embracing the gambling industry and you letting the advertising get involved, you cannot let that happen.
No,
because
it's incompetent.
The worst thing for a gambler is if he thinks this is rigged, you know what? I ain't betting it no more.
Right.
I'm going to bet on another sport.
And then, Mike, explain to me, because I heard some people tell, like, oh, well, the teaser and all that, and this was part of it, and then that messed it up. By all of a sudden, the Saints covering. You know, maybe they were part of the teaser.
And they had it with a number of other teams.
Yeah.
But that's
what they were focused on. Man,
yeah.
I got screwed the damn Saints on Washington game.
More ways than one, but I heard Dan Quinn in the locker room say, I'm not going to talk about the officials because I don't want to get fined. But something was wrong at the end of that game. Bob, it was crazy. You watch Jaden Daniels in that football game. He was 25 for 31.
226.
Modest.
Two touchdowns.
226, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He had three drops. Man, Terry McLaurin, man, twice. He's wide open. And he drops one.
I'm going to ask Coach Rizzi, where the hell? We busted the coverage.
Man, that was a big-time bust.
That was PE open. That was worse than high school.
But
there was nobody around them.
And then the second one, it was a little short.
Yeah.
McLaurin went back to catch it, and then he misjudged where the ball was because he could have caught that one too. Man, for a young quarterback to watch him, how precise he is with his throws. That ball comes out of his hand. I mean, it's like a whip. It's out of there. But 25 of 31 and three drops? Think of that.
And Mike, and you look at his quarterback rating, 118.5. But we kind of thought this would happen. We said, I don't know. When I looked at Drew Lock, he ran with 57 yards.
He got 60.
And he got 66 yards, that being Jane Daniels.
How the hell they put that at 40.5?
Yes. That was like.
Then I told you, I got a few dollars off of that. That was stealing, to be honest.
You know, I talked to a few people that told me, I even was able to push that. He's going to get over 60. And that's he got end up getting 66. So, yeah, well, when that unfolded, but you got to give Rattler a lot of credit, not necessarily Jake Haener. Jake Haener looked like he didn't belong. He completed 4 of 10 passes for 49 yards. He had a passer rating of 16.2. He just kind of looked overwhelmed, and no one helped him out. You know, when he started the game, Mike, it seems like, okay, he's making plays. He hit Cedric Wilson, plus 15-yard game. Then we have it was 3rd and 3. Then we have the penalty on Lucas Patrick. So now it's 3rd and 13. Then he gets sacked by Payne for 11 yards.
Bob,
so,
the worst part of that is they really weren't blitzing. That was a four-man front. That's how they were getting pressure.
And our offensive line, overall, I'm kind of disappointed considering they're all coming back. You know, last week against the Giants had been, you know, all hands on deck since the Eagles game. And we really didn't dominate the game like I think we need to on the offensive line. And so that was frustrating. He looked like Hayner. He was sacked twice in his first three dropbacks. you know, and then finished with three sacks in the first half. But this is Mike, this is mind-boggling to show you how inefficient. I guess they didn't boo because people felt sorry for Jake Hayner or whatever. But if you look at the offense – with Hayner, they finished in the first half with 38 yards and two first downs. Now, New Orleans is not – that's the fewest yards they've had since 2002.
So, Mike, Aaron Brooks led team.
That happened, Mike, the last time that happened, when they only had that kind of paltry production, 38 yards, couple of first downs, you got to go back to 2002. And you know, to score, we almost had to trick them. You remember Cedric Wilson – and, you know, whatever he can do became the first
non. That was one hell of a catch, yeah, by Kamara.
He might have got hurt on that play. He might have hurt his groin on that play. I don't know, but that's kind of a speculation. But when you look at Cedric Wilson, he became the first non-quarterback. I don't even count Taysom Hill. First non-quarterback to throw a touchdown pass in a game since Willie Snead. Remember Willie Snead was a college quarterback? Since Willie Snead threw a 50-yard score. Now, when I read this, I remembered it. To Tim Hightower in 2016 win against the Rams. So it's the last time we've seen that kind of trick play, not being the quarterback throwing a touchdown pass.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
We're back here on the Second Guest Show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, we talked about Rattler and certainly the groin injury to Kamara. They're doing more tests. We'll find out a little bit more. But, boy, does it swing the door open for Kendra Miller.
Amen.
And now you got to take advantage of that spot if – Kamara is going to be out for any length of time or possibly even out for the season. We don't know that yet. We'll have to find out more about the injury to Alvin, but it's certainly now
great opportunity for him.
Man, and you see it in flashes that he has got talent. No one's ever questioned that. The question is availability.
Yeah. Then you beat up, can you answer the bell week in and week out? Mike, He's helming as well. I say that all the time. You know, he's, for the season, he's 4.5 yards a carry, 4.4 to be exact. That's very good. In the game, he was outstanding. Mikey averaged 5.1 yards a carry. Now, that 17-yard long gain he had, he should get 17 yards. The line, the offensive line,
was really awesome. Open. Yeah.
So I look at Mikey at 9 carries, 46 yards. So I'm looking going forward, that might double if Kamara's not available. Instead of 9 carries,
you
that might be
18. And three passes thrown your way, too.
Exactly, the touches and what's going to come about with that. So great opportunity for Kendre Miller. When he first came to the Saints out of TCU, he was talking smack. You know, I'm here
the
to
night they picked him.
I'm here to talk smack to us. I'm here to take Alvin Kamara's job. I'm like, oh, okay, young fella, slow your roll. I mean, how about you just contribute and help our offense? But now you can be the man, Mike. A good sample size. Now, if you look at what he did against Washington, what he's going to do against Green Bay on Monday night, that's going to be look. Talk about an underdog. Where the Packers are at right now.
13.5-point underdog.
Mike, that's like a college, like a team being 30-point favorite. I mean, you know, because anytime you double digits in the NFL, so, Mike, it's at 13.5?
13.5. And about part of that is the last thing on your mind stays with a gambler. He watched that Sunday night game. Were really Seattle in that game at any length of time?
No, and you look at the Packers, and it's going to be in the
defense
at night. So, so when I look at that, but a great opportunity for Kendre Miller. Look what he did against Washington. Okay, build upon that. Can we rely upon you against the Packers on Monday night? Then you come back to the Dome against the Raiders. Then you finish at Tampa Bay. The one who's hot right now, Tampa Bay crushed the Chargers.
Bob, that was a surprise to me.
And the game was close at the beginning. All of a sudden, Baker Mayfield, like, whoa.
He got hot.
Well, Mike, and now look, this is where we were at one time, and we're not. And they are, Tampa Bay is going to win the division 4 straight seasons in a row. Well, we've done that before, and now we're not in the playoffs in Tampa Bay. You know, everybody's worried about Atlanta and Kirk Cousins and all that. Mm. No, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll tell you, that's the team right now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike, you know how, okay, who are you playing in the playoffs and all that? And, you know, like, not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl, go there. But that's one team you might not want to play right now, how hot they are.
And they doing it without Antoine Winfield, who they'll get back in a couple of weeks. But before the season, I picked the Bucs to win it again. Man, then I watched after week 4 and 5. Ain't there's no way they're going to win this division. Atlanta was hot. And then all of a sudden, now Atlanta's cooled off in Tampa Bay.
Because they were dealing with injuries, you know.
Yes.
And the one compliment who's been – the guy from Penn State, Mike.
Chris Godwin.
Yeah, Chris Godwin's out for the season. He's always burned the Saints. And then he was out. But, boy, you know that combination – with Baker Mayfield and I can't think of his name now. The receiver, the top receiver
Mike
from
Evans.
A&M, Mike Evans. They were unbelievable.
And the rushing attack with Bucky Irving and
they
also
can run.
Rashad White. Man, and they one of the top 5 teams rushing the ball.
Yes.
You showed me the stats last week.
Oh, and that's what I'm worried about, Mike. You know how it's going to get easier or not easier? I mean, it's going to get harder. If you look at it now, this is before the Washington game. 3 of the top six offenses, the Saints got to finish. So the defense better pack a lunch.
And Green Bay's part of that attack.
Yes, Green Bay, Washington, and Tampa Bay. I'm looking at that. And then you look at, okay, what are they going to do as far as rushing the football? Well, Washington was number 3, Green Bay's 5, Tampa Bay's 8. So, that's why the Raiders aren't good. The Saints are going to win a game, I think.
It'll be that
it should
one.
Be the Raiders at home. Now, I think that'd be a monumental upset if we went on Monday night against Green Bay.
I agree with
and
you.
And then now, Mike, would you take though the 13.5 points? That's
man,
a lot
I'd have
of
to think about that.
That's a lot of points because Green
points.
Bay can win convincingly. You know, anytime it's double digits, like Green Bay could be in control of the game. Let's say they would win, I don't know, 24-14 or 27-17, and then they still don't cover.
Bob, one of the guys that's emerging as a real star in the NFL in year one, Charlie and I, when we were doing our draft profiles, I told Charlie, there's a linebacker, if I could pick, and he's kind of off-ball line, Edgerton Cooper from Texas A&M, and he played his high school football at Covington High School.
Whoa.
He was at Covington, goes to A&M, and I told Charlie, if there's one guy that I would want to pick, man, he was unbelievable a year ago at A&M. I thought he was the most improved player in the SEC. Man, he's played like he's a seasoned pro when you watch him play for the Packers.
Okay, but how, was LSU in that mix with A&M?
Or they were in the mix at the end, but I don't think they were – Cooper was a top choice for them. I think that right off the bat, it looked as though he was going to go to A&M.
Oh, okay, because the interest maybe they showed in
they
him.
They showed a lot of interest early with him, and I think he stuck to it as it got along in the process. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Hollywood and Thibodeau. Hollywood, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing today?
All right, brother.
All right, Hollywood. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you. Hey, Bobby, it's going to be my birthday next Monday. Then the Green Bay game.
Monday Night Football. So how old are you going to be, about 42 or what?
I wish I was 42, but I'm going on 65.
Oh, 65. Oh, you're a year older than me. So congratulations, Hollywood. You made it officially. Is that retirement age, or are you still working at Fouchon? Are you going to extend that to 67 or what?
Hollywood will continue to work. Come
on. I don't know. You might be jet-setting. I don't know.
I'm continue to work because I like what I do, and I work half the year anyway, so I get every other week, and I just like what I do, and it gives me time away from the wife.
You got a little piece
but
of quiet.
At least you admit it.
But Bobby,
yeah.
On that 2-point conversion, you don't think we should have ran Miller up the middle or Miller on the outside? Because it looked like that tight end was kind of double covered.
Well, I don't know. How about the tight end make a great catch?
Make the catch.
I don't know. Hitting your hands, his hands, I don't like the placement. Could ricochet off of it. And, hindsight, they all say, the guy was open, Mason? In the back of the end zone. Yeah, you have to look at, you might freeze it, and then it looked like he's wide open. But a quarterback is going through his progressions. I guarantee you when they practice that play in practice, that was his first read. And Spencer Rattler can spin it. I don't know. Now, it was a tough catch, but I looked like he hit Juwan Johnson in the hands to me.
He hit him in a bad spot.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, all of a sudden you make a great catch and you're a hero. I mean, I don't know. It wasn't like, that was a stupid play. Why did we do that? No, if you execute it, it's not a stupid play. Then you win the game.
I told this to Tom. You know what it kind of reminded me a little bit of? When Jaden Daniels hit Mason Taylor against Alabama in that corner end zone. He flipped it to
right, him. Right. Yeah, I mean, so you got it. The bottom line is you're going to have you always second guess. Did you have the right play called? And you have to execute. Now, like I said, you look maybe Austin, because I think this is on social media. Now, Austin flashed open in the end zone, but Johnson was the primary read. And then all of a sudden, Rattler quickly releases the ball because that's where he said he's open. And then, to me, I don't know. I think he should have caught it. But maybe I'm just taking up for the quarterback. But to me, if you hit your hands, you got to catch
it. Ain't the first time.
Yeah, you got to catch
it. You got to catch
it. Now, it's a tough catch. I'm not saying it wasn't a tough catch, but you got to catch it. But when you look at Austin, Kevin Austin being that open, it was because when you can freeze it after the ball's going, the defense is going to shift.
Yeah.
And he's going to look more open. And you never want it. When you're running a 2-point play or a quick play, it very seldom works unless you're a magician like Lamar Jackson or maybe Jaden Daniels. Usually that goes bang, bang. Like 1, 2, 3,
it's
bang.
Fast.
It's fast. And you got the read, you burn the defense. When you're running all around, I see like a trick play, a 2-point, and they like ad-libbing, hey, I'm not saying it can't work out. A lot of times that play ain't working. And it's going to be luck if it works. And so that's why when you see Austin wide open, I think a lot of because the ball was thrown in the flat, that helped him look more wide open than he actually was. And maybe, in hindsight, Spencer Rattler could have really stared in that flat and pump it like he's going to follow through and then come across and throw it to Austin. Then you look like Drew Brees. And then that's something Drew Brees might have done. And then all of a sudden you're like, boy, look at that great play. But if you go by how you're being coached and how you're trying to execute, I have no problem with Spencer Rattler hitting Juwan Johnson in the flat.
Because
now,
you can bet they practice that play practice
and
the
that's
exact same
that's
way.
The number one read, and that's where you're going with the ball. And look at the throw he made when they scored the touchdown, Fosamoro. Where did that ball go? looking direct through. Because Spencer Rattler could throw it. Now, you might say, oh, I don't know, it was too much mustard on it. I don't know. You got to catch it. I mean,
look the ball come out of Jaden Daniels' hand.
Yeah.
If you think he got some mustard on
it. No, and I'm not just getting on Juwan Johnson, but if he wants to be truly a hero, you got to catch that ball.
We'll be back with more Second Guess. Thank you for the call, Hollywood. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guess Show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. We got Tony from Australia. Tony, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
How are you, Bobby and Mike? You got Grant singing out?
You hear him.
You
know he's here.
But Tony, we got Grant here. Perfect attendance.
There you go.
We ain't got to worry about it. Grant's always showing up.
He's going to get the paper at the end of the year.
We had a few other, Silver Slipper loyals and to the
They got extenuating circumstances why they're not here.
They got kicked out. They might be back in the future.
Hey, Tony, been there, done that, right?
Yeah. So, Tony, man, aren't you been – now, tell me, because I think you're objective about this. It's amazing how we're 5-9 and we could be 9-5 and we can just finish games.
Yeah. And I watched the game yesterday live, and I get to see the Packers live, too, on Christmas Eve. At lunchtime, but I had my toes, fingers crossed for the 2-point conversion. But in my opinion, I know Coach Rizzi made that statement after the Rams game. But in my opinion, we had all the momentum going with us. We should have just tied the game up, got the ball,
and then
gone down and won the game.
Bob, give the good and the bad.
Hey, listen, I can play devil's advocate. I can argue a debate clause. I can argue both points. Okay, you're playing a Jane Daniels, and you might say, well, we might never get the ball back if we go in overtime. But you know what I say? No, you just got to put the challenge in your defense. They got to score a touchdown. Now, think about this. They were hot the first half. Washington only scored 6 points in the second half. So it's not sudden death. Now think about this. Okay, so we are going into, and now it's a hindsight. Now we're going into overtime. But then you could challenge your defense. It's like, look, whatever you do, you can't let them get a touchdown. Now, I don't know. We were beating the Eagles by 5 points with less than 2 minutes left, and we couldn't stop them getting a touchdown.
That didn't work either.
But I'm saying the way the game, the ebb and flow, each game is different. Like the Rams game, whether you're going for it or not. There's a situation, you can't be always, I think, pedal to the metal. We're going for two no matter what all the time. I think the way that game unfolded in the second half, again, this is just my opinion. I think I'd have liked our overtime chances because even if we give up a field goal, okay, let's say we give up a field goal, the game ain't over. It's not sudden net. That what ends up happening, as an offensive unit, you got four downs. You got four downs. And then you might answer back, and you get a field goal, and you tie it that way. Or you can score a touchdown, and you end up winning that route. So, Tony, I just think the way we played the second half and only gave up 6 points, that I ought to put the challenge more in our defense. And I think Jane Daniels was making big plays, and maybe Coach Rizzi might have been thinking, well, they missed two bombs. And the game wouldn't even have been on the edge like it was for them to come away with a win. But I look at it now, if it's Sunday and you only need, like, you remember how we beat the Vikings and all that, and you only need a field goal, how the rules have changed. Challenge the defense, because if you're only giving up 6 points the second half, is don't give up more than the field goal. Then we'll get the ball back and see what we can do. Because you're going to have four downs. You're not punting. And you're not putting in overtime.
Not with Jaden Daniels playing. If they win the
but,
toss.
But what I'm saying, let's say Jaden Daniels, they're driving, and we stop them, and they're going to go for the field goal, unless it's like fourth and one or something, they might continue to drive. But let's say they get a field goal. Next time you get the ball, it's four downs to get 10 yards every time. Because you're not punting, the game's over. You got either you get in field goal range, you score a touchdown and win.
It's one of the two.
That's the only reason why, Tony, I kind of agree with you in that part, because the way the game flowed yesterday, not necessarily against the Rams, but against Washington, because we only held them to 6 points that second half, that I maybe would have lived to fight another day in overtime. Now, if Juwan Johnson catches the ball and you score
then
two,
not having this discussion.
Yeah. No, it's all hindsight, but that's why we call this a second guess. I mean, I don't.
that's what I mean. We had the momentum going with us, and we could have kept that continuing, because I'm sure the defense would have lifted.
Well, I can tell you what, Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis were playing like young men that game. I mean, think about this. This is, and we haven't seen this. This is like almost old school. You look at Cam Jordan and what he's able to do as far as sacking the quarterback. Do you know that was Cam Jordan's first two-sack game since Week 17 of the 2022 season? And it was the second two-sack game of Young. In his career, Mike, I thought he'd have had that before.
I thought so, too.
That was only second. So, no, our old players were playing young. DeMario Davis was kicking ass. DeMario Davis was flying to the football. He had 14 tackles, 9 and assists, and a sack, 2 tackles for a loss. Cam Jordan, 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for a loss. No, we were Chase Young. 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for a loss. So even though Jane was working his magic, we were kind of giving him the business at times. So that's why I only say, because the second half that I think, you know, bend but don't break. If you force a field goal, then you still got 4 downs to go 10 yards and then have a chance. Now, I don't know if Coach Rizzi.
I understand why Rizzi did.
You can play.
You
could go both sides. Yeah. You could play both sides of the fence on that. But then when you don't win, like Tony's like, I don't know, we had the momentum. When we held them only to 6 points the second half. I understand that. So, Tony, that's a great point you bring up.
Thanks for the call, Tony. We appreciate it, buddy. You take care of yourself.
So, he said he's watching the Monday night Green Bay game coming up.
Sunday night.
It's at noon. He's going to be watching it at noon in Australia.
We'll be back with more second guests right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in our number one of the second guest show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. In our 5 o'clock hour, we'll talk to Dave Hilbert at 5:10. And then we'll have on with the Zach Nagy covering LSU. And Bob, I mean, it's one transfer after another. LSU's now up to 7 guys that they've gotten commitments from in the transfer portal, and some pretty big name guys there. And at need position, especially at cornerback, the edge rushers, you got a quarterback.
Who's the new quarterback?
It's Michael Van Buren. He's an East Coast guy.
Mississippi State, right?
Right. He went to Mississippi State, but you know his original commitment was to Oregon.
Oh, wow. So he must be talented.
Now, he's not a tall guy. I would say they list him at 6 foot. I don't think he's that. He's more.
Well, look at the quarterback at Oregon right now, Dylan.
He ain't 5'11".
Right, right.
He's not a very tall guy.
Listen, you just win. You could be short and win. You can't be short and lose. And you can't be big and lose. The bottom line is you got to win, whether you're short or big. The bottom line is you got to win. You know, people don't care. Oh, he's 6'4", he's all 6'5", or he's 5'8", but he wins like Doug Flutie at Boston College. You don't think they love him? He was a midget. Come on. can you say that? I don't know.
Well, you just said it.
Or so, dwarf. I don't know.
But
I'm not going to say elf. I mean, that's Christmas time, though.
And they got himself also a tight end, which I thought was a big need for this football team. And Bob was sharp, who I first saw at Southeastern Louisiana. He was playing tight end there. Goes to OU for 1 year. Now back in Louisiana. We'll be back with more second guests right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL.